You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Your Bible's Galatians chapter number 5 tonight. We left off last week in verse number 6. Galatians 5, we'll let the orchestra go ahead and be seated, and the men, and that'll be great. That'll be good. Good crowd tonight. Good singing tonight. I like that singing. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. And the teenagers, they did a good job singing tonight. That's wonderful. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. And I pray that as we look into it now for the next few moments, that it would find lodging in our heart. For I ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 6. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. Let him that is taught, Galatians 6, 6, you got it? I'll wait for you slow people. Galatians 6, 6, ready, begin. Let him that is taught, you know, not everyone is a teacher, the Bible says. That's why we don't have group discussions around here. Some people should never open that, and so class sitting around a table, and, well, what do you think this says? Well, what do you think? They have no business saying it because there are not many teachers.
Right. Good.
Now, that's one over real big. But the Bible said, let him that is taught in the word. You have been taught the word of God. Now, do something with it. What'd she say? Communicate. What does that mean? Share it with others. Let him that is taught in the word share it unto him that teacheth in all good things. That's the close of that chapter that we've dealt with. Now we move to verse 7. Let's read the first three words. Ready? Begin. Be
not deceived.
You know, there is such a thing as deception tonight. Satan wants to lead you astray. And I want to look at this word deceive for a few moments. First, there's satanic deception. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, you have an X on your back right now. Because the devil knows, he watches. He watches every area where you're weak. And he is going to fight you all your life where you're weak. Let's say your weakness is money. And there are many people that are Christians, and their weakness is money. It was Ananias and Sapphira's problem. They had a weakness toward money. I wonder, is that a true statement? I'm going to say the word, most Christians have a weakness with money. I don't know if most is the right word. Maybe I should say many. Brother Jerry, I think many Christians have a problem with money. I'm sure this crowd's tithing, but that's why so many on Sundays in churches across America don't tithe. And the devil knows that's a weak area for you. So he'll provide opportunities for you to make money. He'll provide opportunities for you to have money. He'll provide opportunities for you to get money. And lo and behold, that's where he's going to work with you. You know, it might be position, notoriety. I have this position. Now, you little people, you listen to me now. I have this position. And if we're not careful, the devil sees that. You know, a good boxer, what does a good boxer do? He looks where you're weak. You don't go, Brother Bill Langston, into the ring and say, here's where I'm weak. I was talking to two brothers, they're two preachers, they're both my age. The one had a record of 43-2, I think, was his record. And yesterday at lunch, we were talking together, and they were saying, it was Brother Daryl Cox and his brother Randy, and they were talking about how that they were boxing. But a boxer doesn't go in the ring and say, wait. I just broke my jaw over here. Now, it's healing up, but don't hit me there in my jaw. What's your opponent going to do? He's going to hit you right where it counts, in that jaw. I might be wrong what I'm going to tell you right now. If the devil doesn't know, because he cannot read our hearts. I started practicing this in 1970. I can almost name the year, the date of 1970. I have never confessed anything publicly that the devil doesn't know. I'm not going to give, God's word says, neither give place to the devil. Let's say, and it's not money, I have no desire to hang on to money. I love giving money away. But let's say it's money. I'm not going to say, now, Lord, you know I have this problem with money. I just want money. I want money. Where do you think the devil's? The devil now knows. I've just told him where I'm weak. I'd be very careful with announcing out loud to God in prayer. Prayer's good. I'd be very careful announcing where you're weak. If no one else knows it, if Satan doesn't know it, if no one knows, it may be money. It may be position. It may be a woman or a man. That's not your mate. I'd be very careful. Because the devil will create a desire in your heart and an opportunity for you to mess your life up. The Bible says, be not deceived. Deceive is to be led away, to be led astray. Satanic deception. And then there's secondly with that, there's self-deception. Look what the Bible says, and you might want to just jot it down. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 19, verse number 16. Take heed to yourself that your heart be not deceived. It is easy to self-decept. I'm a good Christian. I read my Bible today. I'm a good Christian. I prayed today. I'm a good Christian. I passed a tract today. I'm a good Christian, but we might not be a good Christian. Getting quiet in here tonight. But there's self-deception. My Bible says the pride of the heart deceiveth mankind. My heart can deceive me so quickly. There's satanic depression, deception, and there's self-deception, and then there's sin deception. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communications corrupt good manners. You hang around the wrong people. You hang around sin. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There is self-deception. There is sin deception. There is satanic deception. There is spiritual deception. Remember what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2? God's word says many, many will be deceived. God's word says in the book of Luke, many shall come in that day and say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out demons in thy name? Have we not run buses in thy name? Have we not taught classes in thy name? Have we not sung in thy name? Have we not done this? Have we not preached in thy name? And God said, depart from me, I never knew you. You know, in these last days, I'm watching deception like never before. I was preaching to a group of about 50, 60 preachers on Monday night. And as I was preaching to them, the many that I talked to told me basically about the problem they're having with deception in their church. There's satanic deception. Satan's out to destroy your life. He's out to destroy your marriage. He's out to destroy your kids. Satan's out to destroy. And then there's self-deception. And there's sin deception. And then there's spiritual deception. Go with me, you're right there. Ephesians chapter number 4, next book over. Ephesians 4 and verse number 13. Ephesians 4, till I come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son and the perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look what it says in chapter number 5 and verse number 6. Verse number 5, chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. You know, go with me to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy in chapter number 3, verse number 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. God's word, go back to Galatians. God's word makes it very clear that there is going to come a day in the last days when there is spiritual deception. Get church done. I was preaching in Colorado, and I was preaching in Colorado Springs, for example. That's where every non-denominational group is. Every Navigators are there. Focus on the Family is there. They're all there. There's a dozen of them. And consequently, there's a lot of Christians in that area. And consequently, there's a lot of churches. And there's churches, there's about four or five of them that are about 10,000 each and larger. And they have advertised Sunday morning service, Saturday night service. Another one, I was driving, and another one I looked, it said Friday night service. Friday night. And the next one I saw said Thursday night service. And I said to the pastor, what is going on? Why a Thursday night service? He said, because this is snow country. And it gives the people an opportunity to make a three-day weekend a lot of times out of it. So we can get the church thing done on Thursday night and give you Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Well, something's wrong with that. Sunday's the Lord's day. It's a holy day. It's not a holiday. You know, I would not go backpacking. I'd not go fishing. I'd not go to the snow slopes on Sunday. I'm not going to the mountains. I'm not going to the beach. I'm not going. I'm not going to the mall on Sunday. Sunday's God's day. If God can't have one day, now they're all His, but if God can't have one day, then something's wrong. And so there's deception. Go back. Be not deceived. There's sensual deception as well. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What does that mean, mocked? It means He doesn't turn His nose upward. God, you can't mock God and get away with it. You cannot. All this deception in the world today, the world, the flesh, the devil, you cannot buy into the world's philosophy and all that, the sensual philosophy and the spiritual philosophy. You can't buy into that without God being mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He's going to have the last laugh. But the Bible says, for whatsoever. Now it brings the farmer into this. A man soweth, that shall he also reap. I remember my dad giving me a pretty large portion of our backyard. It was back in the back corner. It was at least as big as this platform here. And he said, son, that's your garden right there. And he said, I said, well, what do I do with it? He goes, well, first of all, you're going to have to turn the soil over. It's fallow ground. And I turned it over. And I worked a couple days at it with a pick, and I turned it over. And then he said, now you're going to have to turn over the clogs, and you're going to have to break them down. I said, okay, I'll do that. And so I worked a day or two on that. And then he said, you're going to have to string a line and put your corn in and put your carrots in and put your radishes in, put your beans in, put your pumpkins in. I want you to put all those things in. And I had enough room. And he said, so make a row. And then after you put three seeds of corn in on every little hole, Then you're going to pack it down, and then you're going to make an irrigation ditch next to it. I'll never forget it. This had, well, I won't tell you how long, but it was many years ago. And then I went out to look at the corn, and you won't believe this. My corn, it came up knee high by the fourth. Oh my goodness, it was a lot higher than that. And my corn, three stalks of corn for three kernels of corn, my corn came up good. And I could grow corn, I couldn't grow radishes. But you're not gonna believe it, my corn grew radishes. It's just the strangest thing. And my carrots grew pumpkins. You know that, that's a strange thing. They just grew pumpkins. And everything grew something. And I had an orange tree out there, and it grew apples on my orange tree. It was the weirdest thing. You think that happened? No, that never happened. No, that did not happen. My corn produced corn. And God says, be not deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I guess we'd have to ask ourselves, what are we sowing tonight? On a Wednesday night, church like this, you're sowing so many good things. But I wonder if there's one here, or two, or three or four, that are sowing things that you should not be sowing. And I wonder, you're getting away with it, but God's not mocked. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, you know, I was reading about, I forget what Old Testament book right now. Jonah, what's after Jonah? I was reading two or three books later, and it was the destruction of Nineveh. God promised the destruction of Nineveh 100 years before that in the book of Jonah. God never judges quickly. The wheels of God's judgment run slow, but the wheels of God's judgment always come. And you sow corruption in your life, and you live a double life. You live in this life and you live in this life. We live this life on the internet. We live this life at church. We live this life on our phone, and we live this life in our serving God. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. The Bible goes on to say, for he that soweth to his flesh. I wonder if you sow to your flesh what you're going to reap. What are we going to reap if we sow to the flesh? Well, the Bible tells us, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You know, Brother Chuck Flood, I've been thinking about that verse in the Lord's table, 1 Corinthians 11. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, many die. I know God's grace, and I know all that, and the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and because someone dies, it doesn't mean they're wrong. But I tell you what, there are many Christians, I believe, have gone to a premature death. Because whatever a man, you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh. And the Bible says, he that soweth to the flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. I think of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is in our lives to teach us all things, he says. The Spirit of God teaches us. If you're sowing the Spirit of God, you're teaching others. That's what he said in verse number 6. If you're communicating the word, you're teaching others. I think of the Holy Spirit of God. He guides us into all truth. Are you guiding other people into truth? I think of the Holy Spirit, how He seals us. I think how He empowers us. I was in my office just praying, and I was praying and looking through the day, and I was sitting next to a fellow on the airplane today, and I gave him a gospel tract, and I witnessed to him. But I got thinking about it, and Brother Sly, I said, you know, it was so weak. That's not the Spirit of God. And he grew up Irish Catholic, and he has kids and all that. He works out here, but he lives on the East Coast. And I talked to him. I gave him the gospel. But you know, Brother Fanera, I didn't give it to him strong enough. Because that boy's going to die one day. And the Spirit of God just pricked my heart in that study, right over here in this study just a few minutes ago, because I missed. Oh, you say, you gave him a track. I gave him the track. And I went through the planets. I did all that. Here's how to be saved. But I left it alone after a few minutes. He put his earphones back on, and he was very polite. But I was weak in my defense of the gospel today. The Spirit of God so spoke to my heart. Because that's the power of God. When the power of God is resting upon you, you have the power of God. That's the Spirit's job. Look what the Bible says. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. So verse number 9, let's read it together. Chapter 6. Verse number 9, ready? And let us not be weary. Let's go back and look at that. Let us, he's writing to the Christians. Let us, these were brethren. He says that in verse 1. These were Christians, brethren. If a man be overtaken of fault, ye which are spiritual. And so he says, let us as Christians not be weary. Weary is to be spiritless. I preached on Sunday morning, your spirit. I have no spirit left. I'm exhausted. Spirit is to be spiritless. It means to be wearied. I'm so weary. I'm so exhausted. Let us not be exhausted. Let us not be wearied. Let us not be spiritless in well-doing. I think I'm going to give up this class, this Sunday school class. I've tried it, nothing's happening. Well, don't be weary in it. You know, this is not, by the way, July 13th is not our anniversary, it's the church's anniversary. I want you to remember that. It's not Pastor and Mrs. Treber's anniversary, it's the church's anniversary. But I say that because in 50 years of ministry here almost now, do you think there are any wearisome days? Do you think there is any wearisome days? I'm telling you this, the older I get, I called Bobby Robertson. He pastored the same church 61 years. Get that in your mind and think about that for a while. 61 years, 50 years is nothing. But at 50, I called him. I said, Brother Bobby, congratulations. And I hope from this day forward, the sailing will be smooth sailing the rest of the journey. I'll never forget what he said. Ha ha! That in the Greek is ha ha. He said, Brother Jack, Brother Treber, I'm going through the trials of my life right now. You know, you don't hit 50 years with no trials. Yeah. And somewhere along the line, I'm grateful for a wife that stayed with me. And she never said, let's leave. Somehow, we're facing trials tonight. Well, you got to deal with them. And whatever your trials in life, you got to deal with them. God's not going to give you more than you can handle. Don't run out on God when you're going through trials of life. Amen. Don't quit on God. Don't blame God. Don't blame Christianity. Don't blame fundamentalism. Don't blame the Baptist church. No. It's me. It's me. And the Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Make sure what you're doing is well. Make sure it's right. And in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. That's why I believe there's so many people in this church that have stayed with us all these years. And so many of you new folks that are here, you're reaping. Those love gifts we received at Christmas time, that you're reaping. You've sowed and you sowed and you sowed and you keep sowing. You're reaping. This 3,000 seat auditorium is reaping. This just did not happen. This is a gift from God. Those dormitories and that gymnasium and that educational, that's a gift from God. That other property is a gift from God. We're all reaping 250,000 square feet of building space. We're reaping. Amen. And it's paid for. Amen. Those 20-some buses, whatever, out here, and how many buses, I don't know how many buses we own, more than that, I guess. That's all reaping. That choir that Sunday morning, Sunday night will be jam-packed and overflowed. That's reaping. And an orchestra pit, an orchestra, that's reaping, friends. Look what he says. Be not deceived, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. One more verse. He changes the subject, but I add it to finish off our text tonight. And as we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. It's God gives you opportunities, take them. Take every opportunity you can. Here's an opportunity. God's given me an opportunity. I can be a blessing here. Those three little girls that sang here tonight, I looked at their little lives, just little seventh graders. They stood up here, not proud at all, but they stood up here and sang so beautifully. Aunt E sang so beautifully. Boy, if you see them tonight, God's giving you the opportunity to thank them for singing. Amen. Yeah? As we leave out in just a few moments, you might want to take the time to say hello to someone in front of you or behind you or to the right or to the left, or whatever the case might be, as you have opportunity, let's do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. So that means to the unsaved, my unsaved neighbors. I had an unsaved neighbor just stop me the other day and said, I didn't know it, and she was saying, thank you. I said, sure, yes. So she said, well, for the Christmas gift you left on the door. Well, they're not saved, but I make sure all those neighbors have Christmas gifts. That's my job. They're not saved, but especially to those that are the household of faith. What a privilege. Let's read these verses together. Let's read verse number 6 through verse number 10. Ready? Begin. Let him that is taught in the word. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this precious Bible that we hold in our hands, the precious scripture. Oh, how there's such deception today. There's satanic deception, and there's sin deception, and sensual deception, and Christian service deception. Help us to realize there's deception. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. and help us to reap what we've sown. I pray that we'd reap good things. Thank you for these parents. These parents that are here have their children in the children's ministry tonight. It's been a long day for them. Yet they came to God's house tonight. They sang so beautifully. Thank you for the single adults. Thank you for the senior saints that are here. Thank you, those that are going through trials and heartaches. God, help us to be everything we should be for Thee.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.